Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got an interesting interview with Dave Drazio talking about spring fishing on the Chippewa Flowage, and then lastly, some great walleye tips for you from Minnesota pro angler Tom Nustrom. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get out and hit the trails with the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for rebates up to $2,000 on the last few remaining 2018s. Meanwhile, the 2019 Polaris snowmobile lineup offers a two-year limited warranty on select models and financing as low as 3.99%. Plus, if you have young riders, check out the Polaris Indy Evo, the trail-ready sled built specifically to transform new riders into confident riders, starting at just $52.99. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair, Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out today, we've got help co-host is Trent Hoff. And good morning, Trent.
Good morning, John.
You know, we're getting closer to spring. Now we're into March. As this airs here, we're actually airing this for the 10th of game fish season because, so it's closed. You know, it's up to the guys who want to go out to ice fishing. It'd be panfish only.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, coming into March here, we're kind of expecting the panfish bite to pick up a little more here in the late ice.
It should. I mean, but you getting any reports as far as, like, there's a lot of snow out there. How about the slush conditions?
There is a lot of snow. And actually, underneath all that snow, we've been hearing lots of guys saying slush underneath all that. It's been real tough sledding. I mean, guys, even in trucks, have been getting stuck out there. So it's kind of a walk-in only, or maybe on a snowmobile.
Or pick a spot that's really close to the access, right?
That's right, John. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, we're talking about those late season panfish. Once we start getting that meltdown, which we should start seeing sometime in March, we hope, and we start getting that meltdown, then the action really starts to pick up because those fish always come up high underneath the ice.
Absolutely, and like I said, we're kind of hoping, you know, that the weather cooperates with us so that, you know, the ones that want to go out and catch a good mess of bluegills or crappie, you know, hopefully you'll have a good bite.
You know, and the other thing, too, that gets overlooked in the spring is the perch bite, because the perch are one of the first ones to spawn, and actually they'll even spawn under the ice, I understand, sometimes, but they start moving from that deep mud flats toward where they spawn shallow, and that usually happens sometime in the late ice period.
Well, and also we got to keep in mind, too, that there's a lot of other fish that are going to be spawning, like the game fish, and that's why they're going to be closing that down. So
You know, the guys want to game fish. They want to go after trout, we're talking about trout, but they want to go after walleyes or pike. We can fish on Lake Superior up on Shawamigan Bay. There's good walleye fishing in there. There's good northern pike fishing, and that's open year-round up there.
Yes, and actually, I would have to double-check the regulations, but I do know you can even spearfish pike as long as there's ice. But I would have to probably
sure on that one. That's a different one. Well, you know, talking about the open water fishing up there, you know, Lake Superior is really kind of close to us, and it's good for a lot of fish. Right now, they're getting a lot of trout and salmon up there through the ice.
And even through this month, you know, we're kind of expecting it to be a pretty productive bite. There's a lot of good little rivers that do flow into the water that get overlooked because of the Brule is just such a good destination spot. But right. Don't overlook those smaller streams along that south shore.
Yeah, you know, and that we're talking about the last Saturday in March, which would be your steelhead season to open up. And a lot of guys actually from down here and around the Hayward area and inland actually head up for that.
We do see quite a bit of people coming in through here, and yeah, absolutely, they want to get put on some good tackle for the steelhead, the trout, and we do have a pretty good selection. So if you plan on heading up that way, make sure to stop into Hayward.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Brule. Brule River is famous for the steelhead. There's actually a hatchery even there. But there's a lot of small streams, too, that sometimes get overlooked up there. So if you just look at any topographical map, you'll see a lot of water running into Lake Superior along that north shore, or south shore, I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's quite a few of them, actually. There are a few good productive rivers along the north shore, too, like the Lester River and the Knife River. But they do get quite a bit of fishermen covering that water, so it's hard to find a standing spot sometimes.
Yeah, and that water drops off really fast up there off the shoreline too. And talking about a couple other things too, as we start getting into March here, we're getting closer to that spring turkey season, the first season. I don't have the exact date of the first one here. I've talked about it before in past shows, but this is the time guys want to get out, even though we got so darn much snow, and do some scouting.
Well, absolutely. And actually, with all the snow and the harsh conditions we've had this winter, a good note is I have been seeing quite a few turkeys actually in the area. So there's still a good population out there. And if you are interested, we do have a bunch of turkey calls that are on sale, as well as a lot of new stuff to check out as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned that was interesting. I was wondering how the turkeys were going to fare with all this snow. And out by me, I'm seeing where I had bigger flocks, there's a lot less birds in them, but there's still birds out there.
Oh, absolutely. The whole stretch on between Hayward up north of 27, all the way up to Barnes area, I travel that highway every day. And I have been seeing a lot of good sign of turkey and quite a few good broods too. So
that's interesting, considering one of the head turkey biologists in the country 20 some years ago told me we would never have turkeys up here. The wrong type of habitat, they couldn't survive.
Well, and I can contest for that. I remember being a kid and I never seen turkeys up here, but now 20 years later, I've seen flocks as big as sometimes 30, 40 birds in one area. So it's really good conservation that's going on up here.
Well, yeah, and the turkey has proved to be a lot more adaptable to conditions than people thought it was.
Oh, that's definitely true. I mean, just like chickens, a turkey will molt and get winter feathers. And they can acclimate themselves pretty well.
Yeah. Talk about getting ready for spring. You guys are getting all the new gear and stuff in here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And everything from electronics to new rods and reels and new lures, lots of things.
Oh, absolutely. We're getting a lot of new reels, Shimano, your Abu Garcias, Lewis. We got a lot of good combos coming in. So it's never too early to gear up for the open water season, that's for sure.
Well, Trent, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. When I come back, I'm going to be doing an interview with retired fishing guy Dave Garazio. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward area is a snowmobiler's haven with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, find Hayward Power Sports. We're open 7 days a week because the weekends are when you count on us the most. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service department. With the most up-to-date computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with well over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out our Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and HJC helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Mayrie, and helping out, we've got Trent Hoff here in Hayward Bait and Bottle. And, you know, Dave D'Orazio now is kind of retired as far as a fishing guide. He grew up on the Chippewa Flowage. He got himself into the Hall of Fame as a legendary angler, legendary guide, whatever, you know. And Dave, he knows that Chippewa Flowage pretty good.
And that's a big body of water. So if you're going out alone, you know, you got to be very careful. It is a good idea to definitely bring a guide with you, somebody who knows the water as well. Because they do have those floating islands, and that can turn people around at times.
Well, it's confusing, like, for a lot of people. Not me, I've been out there all the time. But anyway, let's hear what Dave has to say with some fishing tips for fishing the spring on the Chippewa Flowage.
Well, Dave, you know, we may be looking at guys out there ice fishing right now, but once we get into the spring, I know the Chippewa Flowage is a good destination. A lot of people head there, and it's a very good lake to be out on in the spring, isn't it?
John, I really enjoy fishing the month of May on the Chippewa Flowage. I like the summer fishing and the fall fishing, but the May fishing is fairly easy fishing, and you catch just about every kind of species of fish that there's in there.
You know, I think it's a lot of times because the water warms quicker, and it's shallower in a lot of areas, but the fish will be shallow, right?
Yeah, most of the time we find our walleyes in the first, for at least the first half of May, we find them all in 10 feet of water and less. And makes it a little easier to get at them with some different methods. I like to throw crankbaits, beetle spins, instead of just a jig and minnow and a slip bobber. Makes things a little different.
You know, we're talking about walleyes first. I mean, looking at the walleyes, any particular type of areas that you look for? I know a lot of guys gravitate toward the West Fork and the rivers, but, you know, you can't have everybody fishing the river, and all the fish in the lake don't go in the river, so there's other areas to look for too, right?
Yeah, and those fish that are miles away by water just aren't going to swim up the West Fork. And there are a lot of fish in the West Fork, but there's a lot of anglers too. I fish, as a matter of fact, about as far as you can get from the West Fork, and we do pretty good in the spring. What we look for is shallower water with some type of cover. If it's a later spring and you've got some slow-growing weeds that are just coming up, the fish are going to use them. If you've got some wood down there, some sunken bog, maybe some gravel, the fish are going to use them. You got to check all those things, and once you develop a bit of a pattern, you know where to go from there.
You try to stay close to the river channels, or do you get back farther in some of these bays? What type of area, basically?
John, you know, it makes sense to me to be near the river channels, but it obviously doesn't make sense to the walleyes. We catch them in back bays. We catch them in areas that are half a mile from the river channel. That just doesn't seem to pull them in as much as you'd think. I do like to fish the shores that are getting the wind. Everything being equal and there's two shores that have the same amount of cover and one's getting the wind directly coming in on it, I'll pick that one.
How about water temperature? I know you can find different temperatures out there. I know I tend to look for warmer water if I can find it too.
Yeah, I think the bays have warmer water than the main body of water. I know that for a fact. You get into some of these dark bottom bays and you can find a difference of 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees difference. And that's going to hold those fish. They're looking for their warmer water. I'm not sure it's the temperature that they're seeking. It may be the fact that there's some bait fish in there.
I know a lot of guys, when it comes to walleyes, they first thing they think of is bobber rigs or jigs with minnows or something. But there's times when you want to be moving faster, and at that time, I think a lot of times a crankbait or a jig with plastic is actually just as productive, isn't it?
I totally agree with that. I would say probably the vast majority of walleyes in May on the Chippewa Flowage are caught on probably an 1/8-ounce jig with a fathead minnow, and it works. But I like to work down these shoreline areas, and I really like throwing Rapalas, different crankbaits, but mostly Rapalas. And we can work down the shoreline and pick up the active fish that are here, there, and cover a lot more water than the other guys where they're getting their slip bobbers ready.
Well, you know, when you're moving like that, too, you're, like, covering a lot of water, covering a lot of area looking for the active fish. But if you find several active fish in an area, you try to slow down and maybe jig fish them or fish lower in that area?
In theory, we should, but I tend to just back over them with the crankbaits again. But, yeah, if a guy wants to work down ashore and he picks up a fish on a crankbait or a jig, there may be more there. A lot of guys will anchor and set up with slip bobbers, and that works too. But I get a little too antsy for that. I'd rather keep moving down the shore, maybe make another pass on that good section, but then keep working down the shore and find some different fish.
And I know, too, and from my experience on the chip, is when you get out there, usually summer's around mid-May a lot of times, you get out there and you start hitting that thing, and even toward evening and after dark, along the shorelines with like shallow run Rapalas can be a real productive way for some of the bigger fish, it seems like.
John, I wouldn't even want to guess how many fish I've caught on a number 13 floating Rapala in the evening or after dark. Bright colors, the fire tiger works great, the gold belly with the orange back works great, and you're fishing them right out of shallow water, right out of 2-3 feet of water. I keep my boat in maybe 6-8 feet of water max, but those fish are right up shallow.
You know, a lot of guys also look after panfish, and there are quite a few guys that want to wait until they get in, start moving into the shallows to spawn, but actually you can get on the crappies out there a lot, you know, right away after, even sometimes before opening day, those crappies will be shallow sometimes.
Yeah, I find that's true, John. I think those fish come in to feed before they actually come in to spawn, and they might not be quite as shallow as when they're spawning, but they're still in fairly shallow water, and they're there to eat, so they're not hard to catch there. Fairly easy. You put a jig and a bobber in front of them, and you can catch them.
I know there's some of the bays, you know, like a lot of people head for Moss Creek bottoms. That's just one. But those areas really tend to, the fish gravitate toward there, and there'll be a lot of fish in that area. And not just the crappies. You'll have quite a few pike and stuff in there, too. But we were talking about crappies. A lot of crappies in that area. And maybe they're not up shallow. It all depends what the weather does on any given day. And when you're talking early May and up to mid-May. But they're in there still real close to that area.
I totally agree, John. I think they start out a little deeper, and as it warms, they come shallower. But those fish can start getting up shallow, and all of a sudden you have one of those cold nights where there might even be frost. It'll move them back out a little bit until that water warms up again. So you got to be aware of what, you know, what the weather's been.
I know when it comes to, I've been doing a lot of guiding for crappies in the last couple of years, and you know, a lot of guys, they think that spring shallow when the fish are up on the beds and they're spawning is the time to go after crappies. But if you get to following the crappies on the chip, you can actually follow them all the way through the entire season, all the way from ice out to ice up, and be productive fishing for them.
That's true. You just have to make sure that you're following those fish, and when you can't find them, look around until you do find them. And you don't really need a ton of different baits, generally a jig with plastic or gulp or even a marabou jig. But something like that will take those fish, and when you find them, you can capitalize on them, because when you find crappies, you're usually going to find a bunch of them.
Yeah, and you got other fish in there, too. You've got the pike in there, and you've got just a wide variety of fish to go after in that chip. And we didn't even mention the smallmouth bass fishing can be actually really good in the month of May on the flowage, right?
You know, John, you get in the latter half of May, and we start working some of the areas with beetle spins. And we catch just about every kind of fish that swims. I mean, from muskies to northerns to walleyes to crappies, smallmouth, largemouth bass, perch. We've even picked up bullheads on beetle spins. Everything will hit them. And as you're going along an edge and working through it, and it's the same thing with casting the Rapalas. You keep moving, and when you find fish, you can sit on them for a little bit. But it's unbelievable how many fish you can catch doing something like that using the beetle spin.
You know, we were going to talk about muskies on another show because that's a whole other topic, but we're kind of trying to focus on the month of May here and a lot of good information you've given us here. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, John.
Well, it's very interesting. We need to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, we're going to interview with one of the top Minnesota fishing guides and pro anglers, Tom Newstrom. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back right after these messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle, 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping our co-host is Trent Hoff. And Trent, you know, I talked to guys over in Minnesota, too. I came from Minnesota many, many years ago. But one of the top guys over there is known as being one of the best jig fishermen out there fishing jigs is Tom Newstrom, who is he was a law enforcement officer at one time. And he hangs around with the Linders and all those guys for years. Anyway, let's hear what he had to say about open water walleye. Some good, interesting information in that.
Talking to Tom Newstrom. And Tom, I know that you guide all summer long and you fish in the wintertime too.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the guys know you as one of the best jig fishermen out there. And you catch a lot of walleyes.
I like to, John. It's my favorite fish to fish for. And that's what most people book me for. But, you know, there's crappies and bass. And, you know, you do some other species too. You can't just live by walleyes alone. But it still is my favorite fish to fish for.
You know, guys are going after walleye. Sometimes I know a lot of guys will struggle for walleyes, and anybody can at one time or another. But what kind of tips can you give them on locating walleyes?
You know, use a map. It's really good information, John, at a bait shop. Start with that. Get yourself a map. Even talk to the bait shop owner. If you know a guide in the area, or you can call a guide. A lot of guys will always be willing to give you areas to fish, but concentrate your efforts on likely looking spots. And you know, sometimes, John, I find a spot that just looks good. I mean, it's not something that I knew about, but it looked good, and all of a sudden it becomes one of my favorite spots because I took the time to look at a map, I looked the time to go over there with my electronics, find the spot, and catch a few fish. And you know what it's always about up here in the brain, that hey, I did the right thing and these fish bit. And you know, and you can utilize that on almost any body of water. I don't care where you go.
There's a reason usually they're there, though, and it could be that anything from the temperature to the forage, food, what?
It could, yeah, the food is a real important thing, especially with walleyes. Comfort is important. I think there's a lot more fish shallow these days that we chase than we ever thought of years ago. A lot of it is weeds, but most of it is driven by food. You know, water temperature is important, but I think the food is number one. And I agree with you. Those are things that, you know, you got to think about beyond the box. If you want to be successful, you got to think beyond the box.
Well, Tom, you know, when it comes to walleye fishing and looking for walleyes, one of the things that I know you do a lot of jig fishing. How do you make a choice on jig size, jig weight, and the conditions?
I like to use as light a jig, John, as I can. The only time sometimes I'll go to a little heavier jig in shallow water is if I'm moving really quick. So it's an aggressive way to trigger fish sometimes. Like I'll use a quarter where normally you use an eighth or a sixteenth, and I will move at a quicker pace. Sometimes that's what they want. I've always been a big believer, John, and give them what they want. But I like a lighter jig, as light as I can get away with, and it seems to work the best for me and has over the years. Eighth would probably be my favorite size jig.
But you can actually still fish an 8-ounce jig even faster. I mean, doesn't mean you're always fishing slow finesse presentation.
No, not at all, not at all. You know, I think sometimes when the water's really flat, calm, I'll go to a 16th where, you know, I'm kind of trickling down the weeds or over the top of rocks. I'll work it a little slower sometimes. because the fish don't always move. Everybody thinks, well, the water went flat and they moved out to deep water. That's one of the most untrue statements that was ever made. But we all learned that lesson. A lot of them go into cover. And if you want to go into cover after them, sometimes you got to go light and finesse. But, you know, I like to move quick. I like to cover water and a little heavier jig and move fast, and sometimes it makes a big difference.
Nick, you've said before, a lot of times one of the biggest mistakes people make is they fish actually too slow.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. They do fish too slow. I've seen so many guys just crawl along just a snail's pace, and they're not getting bit. And if they would have stepped up the pace a little bit. Another thing, John, too, that we've been doing in the summer is pulling spinners shallow. I know a lot of guys like this bottom bouncer presentation, you know, in that 8 to 15, 20 feet. And we're actually going into 4, 5, and 6 feet in the weeds and pulling spinners with a half a crawler or a minnow. And we're catching a lot of walleyes in the dead of summer when the water's warm, because they're in there. They're in there eating.
And up shallow.
And they're up shallow.
Well, Tom, you know, when it comes to walleye fishing, I know a lot of times the guys are know you as a jig fisherman, but there's a time and a place for trolling, too. And yeah, and you talked about it on another piece here with us, but trolling is important, too, and especially shallow sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we pull shad wraps real shallow. Like, I like a number 5 shallow runner sometimes and let 5, 6, 7 feet of water. I'm running about 90 feet of line out. I love line counter reels. It really kind of dials into the not only the proper depth that the bait is going to run, but it gives me an idea of how much line to let out all the time when I'm fishing with customers. I use braid. I use 832 braid, and I like that because it cuts the water really good. Gives me a little more depth sometimes. If I pick the speed up, I might gain another foot by pulling braid when I'm pulling cranks. But again, you know, that shallow water bite for people that want to fish walleyes, you got to learn to fish it, because if you don't, you're passing over a lot of possibilities that you never saw before.
But trolling doesn't automatically mean you catch fish, but it is another method.
Yeah, and you cover a lot of water, John. You cover, you know, you're not so dialed into one little small area.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom, for talking to our listeners.
Always a pleasure.
Well, you know, talk about a couple other things to do. You know, what I want to talk about, too, is fishing new places. Everybody runs out to the same favorite spot, the same lake, the same spot on that lake all the time. And we got so much places to fish up here. There's little ponds and small lakes and rivers. I mean, there's places that we could never run out of places to fish.
Well, you know, it is good to have confidence in a spot or a lake, but like John says here, there is so many different bodies of water to go and explore. And I mean, you go 5, 10 miles in any direction, you're going to hit water, whether you know it's there or not sometimes. And a lot of times those little ponds and lakes can really pay off.
You bet. Well, you're not going to get into them with like my big 19-foot Lund boat with 115, but if you got a small boat or a kayak, you know, I fish with a kayak some, and it's actually kind of fun getting into places that you know nobody else has been for a week or so.
Absolutely, and you might have to prepare yourself for a little bit of a hike, because some of those lakes are, you know, they could be a mile or two in there. Some are definitely closer than that, but yeah, make sure to bring your bug spray with you too when you're going to explore these new holes that way out in the boonies.
It's amazing how many of these spots are right off the road and I never see anybody fishing in them, and yet I know there's good fish in them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even the Eau Claire River can be a good overlooked spot to check out. It goes through the Eau Claire Lakes, and there are some good suckers down there, and I've even heard of quite a few guys pulling out some decent muskie.
Oh, yeah, and you got other places. You got the Chippewa River, the west side, West Fork, East Fork, a lot of good water there, the Couderay River, Namekagon River, and, you know, I could go on and on and on across the north here. There's just a lot of different places to get into and go fishing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and, you know, like John says, you might not be able to bring your luxury bass boat out there, but kayak fishing can be just as fun. Sometimes even a canoe, depending on how much rapids or white water you might hit on some of these little rivers. But for the most part, you know, as long as you kind of have an idea of what you're doing and where you're going, you should be pretty well off.
You know, let's talk about a couple other things. I know we mentioned earlier in the show that you guys have got a lot of new gear and stuff in here. And there's actually some pretty interesting things that have come out this year in a line of lures and stuff, new stuff always.
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a few new lures coming out. There's a few new colors on our shallow swimming dogs, and actually we got a new line of crankbaits in this spring, and a great deal on those. And also a few new reels coming in. Also, you know, the Shimano Corrado DC, that's not brand new now, but it's still fairly new to the market. Great reel. So come on in and check them out.
Well, Trent, I want to thank you for coming on here. And folks, remember, if you miss a show, I always put that show up on our podcast site right a few days after it airs. And you find that by going to our website at WNORadio.net. We're out of time for this week, and thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.